Angela Hewitt, welcome back to Sunday Night at the TSO.
It's great to be with you, Kathleen.
Well, we last spoke a few years ago in the middle of COVID. You had recently won the prestigious Bach Medal from the city of Leipzig, and with that came that moving opportunity to perform the Goldberg Variations at Bach's grave. I've never forgotten that.
Yes.
How has musical life treated you since then?
Oh, well, it's been busy. I mean, I haven't stopped since things, you know, got back on track after COVID. I really haven't stopped, I suppose, because all of us touring musicians, we were so glad to finally have the work again and to get back to our normal lives and not just sit at home, although, you know, that was different. I really haven't stopped since then, but that's a good thing, and I've been playing all over and tons of repertoire. I'm in the middle of my Mozart Odyssey, presenting all the piano concertos around the world, and I finished my Bach Odyssey after COVID, doing all the complete works of Bach in recital, and I completed my recordings of all the Mozart piano sonatas, so yeah, I've been busy.
Wow, it's such an incredible thing to work through all of a composer's, you know, certain kinds of works, since you're mentioning it. And as you are coming to play Mozart, I'm wondering, what do you glean from performing all of Mozart's piano concertos?
Well, not only, of course, do you see the progression in his output. I mean, the early one, you know, the first ones were written when he was very young and probably still just for harpsichord. I don't think he even had a forte piano at the time. So you see also the development of the instrument in a big way. But yeah, when you play them all the concertos, all the piano sonatas, you really get a feel for how Mozart himself probably would have played, because, you know, his whole technique, his whole way of playing the piano, his whole personality especially is in these works. The marvelous sense of theater, of comedy, that's totally present in the piano concertos, this constant dialogue also between piano and winds, between characters, situations, you know, great joy and also tragedy and tenderness. But he switches so quickly from one to the other. I would never say that I become Mozart, but I certainly put myself in his shoes and in his place and in his sound world when I play him.
You're coming to perform one of the most famous, if not the most famous, Mozart concertos, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I'm wondering if there is, you know, having done them all now close together, is there an underdog concerto that you wish people performed more?
Oh, well, I still have three that I've never played. I had four, actually, when I started this cycle.
Okay.
Out of the 21 major ones, there were only four I had never done. All the others I'd played, you know, for many, many years. The F major 4-5-9 I just played, which actually isn't all that played. I just played it in the Concertgebouw in Amsterdam. It was wonderful. But there, three others, the 4-5-1 in D major, which I've yet to learn, which is a great piece. And the 4-1-3, 4-1-5, those are the other ones I haven't done. But of course, most of the big ones like this C major, you know, are done a lot. I did just play a very beautiful one, which actually isn't often played, the number 15, I think it is, 4-5-0, B flat major with a really treacherous finale for the piano.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, just crossing your hands and going like mad. But it's the first one where he brought the wind instruments to prominence, and a very engaging and joyful piece. So it was nice to play that again. I hadn't played it for about 10 years. As I say, also the nice thing for me is to gather up all of this work I've done throughout my life and sort of present it within a short period. It's really satisfying and great to relive some of these pieces I haven't played for a while.
You're coming to the TSO to perform the piano concerto number 21, the K-467 in C major. It's certainly the first one I ever became familiar with, and I'm sure that's true for a lot of people. What's your initial history with this piece?
Well, I was looking at that the other day, because in most of my concerto scores, I've written down my performances. I've missed some along the way, which is too bad. But in the score of this one, number 21, the first performance I had back in 1996 with the Oregon Symphony in Portland, Oregon, I see that the first movement, Cadenza, which is my own, which I wrote, I actually wrote in 1991, five years before. So I think what happened is that I decided it was a piece I really had to learn. And so I did. And I wrote the cadenza then. But it wasn't until 96 that I first performed it. And then, yes, I have performed it quite a bit. And most notably, last year at La Scala in Milan, I conducted there the Cameristi della Scala, their chamber orchestra, in a gala performance at La Scala. And that was really exciting. And I just played it last week in Brussels and in Cologne with the Brussels Philharmonic. But it's also one that I think perhaps has changed the most from when I first played it, because that famous so-called slow movement, it's an andante, so it shouldn't be too slow, but the one that was featured in the film, Elvira Madigan, mm-hmm. you know, and in that interpretation, it was very slow, and that's how people are used to hearing it, but actually, it's an andante in 2 to the bar, not 4.
All right,
so
okay.
I move it along, and I think, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful to play it like that. It's not easy for some orchestras, because they're used to hearing da 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 da.
Right. Yes, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I think it's terrible. So anyway, that's something to listen out for if you're coming to the concert.
Yeah. Now, what do you personally still marvel at in this particular work?
The dialogue with the winds is very, very important. You know, they have to be soloists along with me, and they're a crucial part of the piece. And then also the last movement has just tremendous, you know, the energy in that, and it sort of doesn't let up. The first movement has themes that are both sort of martial, dum, dum, bum, bum, ba, da, da, and then very tender. Those are the two main themes of the first movement. That's my singing debut on 96.3.
Bravo.
And how he combines those is just masterful. I think you feel a different person after listening, or certainly after playing a performance of this piece. You just feel infused with such life and joy. It's wonderful.
And you're obviously no stranger to the TSO stage. What are you most excited about in making this particular TSO return?
Well, working with the musicians again, last time I was with them, we did a play conduct program. I was conducting the orchestra. We did Bach and Mozart and Finzi, I think, and Saint-Saëns. And it was great. I had never heard them play as well as that, actually. And so this time, yes, I have a conductor, and you can probably say the name better than I can.
Oh, yes, it's Marta Gordolinska. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't know Marta, but I'm looking forward to meeting her. And so it's always nice to meet another musician for the first time. And we're giving it 4 times, 3 times in Roy Thomson Hall, 1 time up in
George Weston Recital Hall. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's good. I'm looking forward to playing for all my friends and fans in Toronto again.
Well, we look forward to receiving you. Angela Hewitt, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Kathleen.